Scripture reading this morning, coming from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 33. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. We are here to worship God and have been worshiping God, and we come to a portion of our service where we hear what thus saith the Lord. So hope, pray, and trust that you are doing well. So thankful for the mothers that are here, and we want to honor you and let you know how much we are appreciative of you. Hope, pray, and trust that your day will be great. The world that we live in today has for many years used this particular day to honor mothers, and rightfully so. They deserve honor, especially those who are living according to what God demands and commands of them. And so when we stop and we consider our theme for this particular month is the wisdom of preaching. It caused me to think about the beauty of a mother and her spiritual responsibility to help her children to be godly defenders. And godly defenders of what? Godly defenders of the faith. And so when we stop and we consider some of the things we want to consider, we want to be thinking about the values and the Christian responsibility that mothers have, and how they really impart things into the minds and the lives of their children to help them to be all what God would have them to be. One thing that always troubles me about lessons like this is the range of emotions that are struck. Because you have those who have lost their mothers. You have those who have never had their mothers. You have those, you have so many different angles that you have to work with. And so it makes these type of lessons challenging. And sometimes mothers or women leave without being edified. And that is not the goal. The goal this morning is not to discourage. The goal this morning is to encourage. And so you might not be a mother, but you will decide one day to be one. Hopefully these little points will help you. Maybe you were a mother, but you have lost your children. We are sorry about that, and for many reasons. So, again, just so many different avenues and angles that this can be addressed. And so we want to let you know that we're sensitive to that. However, God has blessed us with women who have borne children. I'm reminded of Eve, who is the mother of all living. And the very fact that she's the mother of all living means all came forth from her. And so I want us to talk about a few things on this morning. Number one, I want us to talk about a mother who is convicted by God and teaches her children conviction. We want to talk about that. Next, we want to talk about a mother who is serious about her spirituality before God. And finally, I want us to consider a mother who is cut to the heart about her children's spiritual posture. Number one, when we consider a mother who is convicted by God and teaches her children conviction, I'm reminded of something that I learned this past week as it relates to the Holy Spirit's role. What is his role? John 16, verses 7 through 9, and with the emphasis on verse number 8, Brother Brian, the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict the what? The world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And you stop and you consider that, and you think about the mother, the woman that has children, the woman that made her mind up that she wanted to be a partaker and a caretaker of another human being. It caused me to think about if she is convicted, if she's going to give that conviction to one that she's responsible for, she has to be convicted by God herself. And so it reminded me of what Jesus said in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, this particular passage has been coming up a lot here lately, maybe because it is fresh on my mind, but I believe it's apropos for the point that we want to make here this morning. In John chapter 3, starting at verse number 19, here the Bible communicates to us, and this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Here it is. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So you stop and you think about the mother. The mother is one that runs to the light, if you will. Why? Because she wants her deeds to be exposed. That will make her a better mother. That will make her a better person, a better Christian. That will make her a better person in society, a better example to even children who are not her children. And so we consider a mother who is convicted must be convicted by God. Jesus Christ came in order to declare who the Father was, and Jesus and the Father sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave us his word, and when a woman reads the word and she's convicted, she teaches that to her children. She teaches that conviction to her children. What have we lost in our world today? We have lost conviction of truth. Women need to be convicted that what is right, and what is not right is not right. And so we go to the mirror of the Word of God, James 1, 21 through 25. Why do we go to the mirror? Why do women go to the mirror? Women love being in mirrors. I got three girls and a wife. They love being in that mirror, I tell you. Always in the mirror. Couldn't get in the restroom because they were in the mirror. I'm just trying to use the restroom. Boys just trying to use the restroom. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm looking at myself. What? Well, let us in. You know, the Word of God is a mirror that you run to in order to find what is off, what is amiss, or the things that are right. And so when we stop, we consider walking in the light is the idea of walking to the mirror in order to see what is amiss. A mother must be a person that's always going to the mirror, to the Word of God, to God to find out, okay, what can I improve on? What can I be better at? How can I develop this so I can be a better communicator to my children? That should cause us to think about Genesis 6, verse 3. You remember when sin entered into the world, Genesis chapter 3, and sin was just going crazy. And God says, I can't do it no more. He said, my spirit will not strive anymore with man. The idea of strive there is the idea of contending with. God says, my spirit won't contend with man anymore, won't plead with man anymore. You consider that, brethren, and how the Word of God is designed to plead with us. The mother must be that person that allows God to plead with her through the Word. Why? Because when the Word of God is pleading with you and you accept the pleading, you accept the conviction, you accept the chastisement, the correction, then you pass that on to your children. So mothers must be convicted, persuaded by God to teach their children, to allow their conscience to be properly molded, properly educated. Why? Because we want to bear good fruit. You want to bear good fruit. If you don't have children now and you're thinking about it, you want to work on that now. Why? Because you want your children to see the best fruit possible. If you have young children, you got time to work on some things. They get to a point where they are able to see if you're real or not. You don't want that. And so we want to bear the right fruit. Women want to bear the right fruit. Mothers want to bear the right fruit, Galatians 5 and verse number 16. Why? Because it's the fruit that's going to determine what your children see. Remember, our children come into this world, Proverbs 22 and verse 15, knowing nothing. What do they see? They see actions. They see results. They see product. They see fruit. Mothers, you have that responsibility. You have to be convicted. You have to be persuaded by God. And I'm not talking about a partial persuasion. I'm talking about a full persuasion. A full persuasion doesn't mean maturity to its end. A full persuasion means that God is right. And I want to make sure that my children have the best example in front of them. And so, mothers, they are to foster conviction of truth. Why? Because wisdom is justified by her children. Why? Because when children see the right fruit, they are prone to follow that fruit. So why do we say these things? We say these things because maybe many of our children are not convicted of truth because they don't see truth in mama. We know they don't see it in dad sometimes. But mothers, you have to be a woman that is convicted of truth, which means that you have to spend time in truth every day. Every day you have to be like what Jesus said in Luke 9:23, you need to deny yourself every day. I know it's tough. It's difficult. Been there, done that, seen it. It's tough. Evelyn used to say the hardest thing that I've ever done was rear children. Why? Because you're dealing with different mindsets, different consciences, different wills. But you got to spend time with the Word of God that you may be able to deal with that will, that conscience, that mindset. To be able to be convicted of truth, understanding 1 John 2 and verse 21, there is no lie of the truth. You can't compromise. Mothers, you can't compromise. Compromisation in the mother and the father, but compromisation in the mother will lead to unfaithfulness in the children. It's so important to see this. And so you have to contend with the children, which means that you got to argue with them. You got to fight with them. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? It means that when you hear and see actions, behaviors, you hear words that are not right, then you take the Word of God, the principles that are therein, and you contend with your children. Your children are not God. Your children are not the best thing since sliced bread. They're not. And some parents treat their children as if they're God. And they expect everybody else to do that too. That's false. Your children belong to God. Psalm 127 in verse number 2 and 3. They are inheritance of the Lord. Great point, psalmist. Why is that? Because since they are heritage of the Lord, that means the Lord wants them back. Our children don't belong to us. Our children belong to God. Which means that a mother must spend time with God in order to help their children go back to God. Now, free will. Free will puts man, children, in a position to make the decision to either follow their parents or not. Some people say, well, that person's child is not faithful, or he doesn't have faithful children because of him or her. It could be that child is not faithful because they don't want to be. Even God, who is the Ancient of Days, who is the greatest father, has unfaithful children. And if he can have unfaithful children, mere men, women that are made of dust, you may have some too. And so when we think about women who were convicted by God, who are some women who were convicted by God? I went to the Old Testament and I was perusing my mind and going through the scriptures. I'm like, who was convicted by God in the Old Testament? And it made me think about Hannah, a woman who was committed. Committed to who? To God. A woman of prayer, a woman of devotion, even in the face of ridicule, she was committed. It made me think about the proverbial woman in Proverbs 31, a woman of powerful work ethic, a woman who was watchful over her house, boldness in character, reverent toward Jehovah. It made me think about her. How do you read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and not come out excited, encouraged, saying, if she can do it, I can. Mothers, you can. But it requires you digging deep and not being lazy. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is rear children, and they wear you out. Imagine having 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 20 of them things. I got a cousin. I'm just this God honest truth. The Hodges had children all the time. One of our cousins had 22 kids. There wasn't no TV back then. They had kids. Can you imagine 22 children from one woman and one man? Amen to that point, right? Sisters, mothers, you decide to have children, you need to decide to put the work in. And when you put the work in, you will reap the fruit. You'll reap the fruit. Godly children are not by accident. Godly children are on purpose. Elizabeth in the New Testament was blameless and righteous before God. We'll talk about her a little bit. But she was blameless. You know what that means, Mom? That means that she probably made, now she made some mistakes, but she got it right. The word blameless means that. The problem is not making mistakes. The problem is not sin. The problem is not doing it right. The problem is leaving it wrong. It's all right to tell your children, I'm sorry. It's all right to tell your children, I messed that up. It's all right to tell your children, I got that judgment wrong. That's okay. Mothers, we need that. Your children need to hear that. They need to see that. Why? Because if they hear that and see that, they see that mom and dad, they have flaws too. And they're willing to admit them. Here, she was blameless. The implication there is that she made mistakes, but she made them right. Luke 1, verse number 6. Vashti, put your seatbelt on. A woman who did not desire to parade herself before the king. Here, the king wanted her to strip down, if you will. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. Put her out. It's interesting. Women will take off their clothes for nothing now. And dare you to say anything about it. Saying, this is my body. I can do what I want to with it. No, your body actually belongs to the Lord. And so we shouldn't be prancing and walking around half naked, nor naked. We're really, and to be half naked is to be naked. Y'all smile. I know that's a tough one because we live in a naked society. Mothers, teach your children not to do that. Time out. I just thought of something. It's difficult for them not to be naked if you're putting them on social media half naked when they're 2 and 3 years old. See, they don't have no control over that. And so when they want to go prancing around half with no clothes on, what did you expect? You've been doing it since they were 2 or 3. Keep clothes on them. And clothe them like God would clothe them. Amen. Y'all do what y'all want to with that. That's free. Why? Because these are necessary for defending the truth. How do we rear godly defenders of the faith? By putting the faith in front of them. Mothers are to help in the nurturing admonition of the child. The more I was thinking about this particular point, it made me think about the social, spiritual, and physical well-being of the child to cultivate their mindset, to cultivate them physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Why are there so many mental issues today, mothers? Teach your children that it's all right to be God's man or God's woman. It's all right to do that which is spiritual and upright. Teach your children that it's all right for you to be who you are when you are right with God. That's okay. That's okay. The digital world that we live in, the social media world that we live in, has brainwashed our children to the point that they don't even know who they are. Mothers, pay attention to who is influencing your children. Why? Because you want to teach them godly traits. You want to teach them detailed morality. Luke 16 and verse number 10, there the Bible demonstrates to us that we need to be faithful in the small things. The small things. Mothers, teach your children that it's all right to do what is right, even when no one's looking. It's all right to do what is right, even in the small things. Well, Mom, that's just a small thing. It really doesn't matter. But if that's the case, Matthew 23 and verse number 23, then you'll leave off the weightier matters. The small things lead to the weightier matters. Well, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Why? Because mothers are to be one that look at the small things and the weightier matters. Brethren, that's the wisdom of God. Mothers, that's the wisdom of God. Pay attention to the small things. Pay attention to your girls. Pay attention to your sons. Pay attention to your children. Discipline them and teach them the discipline that they need in order to be well-pleasing to God in mind and body. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Point two, a mother who is serious about her spirituality. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I want to just use some mothers as examples, or some women, rather, as examples. So I chose Lydia. I chose Priscilla. But why did I choose them? Because they were great, godly examples. Lydia had a household, brethren. Sisters, Lydia had a household, and the Bible says that all of them worship. All of them cling to God, if you will. Here, Lydia was a worshiper of God, and she allowed her heart to be opened by God's spoken word. When Paul spoke the truth, she was right there listening. Mothers, you can't help but to be a godly woman while listening to God's word. You know, we want to put little stories and games in front of our children. We put devices in front of them, and that's fine to a certain degree, I guess. But it's nothing like listening to God's word. You know, you ought to just put God's word on during the day and let them hear it. The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. What do you mean, Brother Mike? There's nothing wrong with them watching television. Nothing wrong with them watching their little screens if that's what you desire. But balance it out. Balance it out by having the word of God spoken throughout the day. Alexander Scorby, you got Blue Letter Bible, you have Bible Is, and it literally just speaks to you. Mike Vestal, preacher in Midland, said that his mother used to read to him every day when he was a kid. And it taught him how to have a respect for the word of God. And those who know Mike Vestal know that he can get up there and just start preaching, and this book is not even open. He's just quoting, giving illustrations, applications. Mothers, he had a mother that read him the word of God every night. The bedtime story was the word of God being read. Maybe that's why he respects the word of God. Brethren, we ought to do that. Sisters, you ought to do that. Put the word of God on. Don't be so busy that you don't put the word of God in their heart. Be like Lydia. Allow God's word to open up your heart. And understand the importance of teaching values and sincerity and worship. Cultivating fear and respect in your hearts. When you cultivate that fear, that respect, then you can share that with your children. And when they see it, they'll have a proper respect for the Lord. Priscilla. Now, nowhere in the scriptures tells us that Priscilla was a mother. But this woman here supported her husband. Can you imagine your children seeing you as a mother, as a wife, supporting your husband in godly and spiritual things? Brethren, we need more of that. We need more men who are going to step up and allow their wives to see them doing spiritual things. And then their wife right there by his side, involved in spiritual things. Y'all pay attention. I'm telling you, we have too many, even amongst the church. They're not involved in spiritual things. Our women are not involved in spiritual things sometimes, especially some of the men. We need to be involved. You need to be involved, and then get your children involved and take them visiting. Don't be so busy that you can't go visit. Don't be so busy that you can't read the word of God to your children, mothers. Please, I'm begging you, pleading with you. Read the word of God to your children, Deuteronomy 6. Have devotionals with your children. Impress that upon their hearts. Here we have Priscilla with her husband Aquila, and she's right there. Even when they're working together, I told my wife, you can't quit your job because you can't work with me. But if she just had to, I guess I'd let her come on up. But here's my point. They were able to work together. Can you imagine seeing the children, seeing them work together in spiritual matters? Y'all need to do that. Mothers, foster that. Foster that in your children. They ought to be able to see you working with people, sharing your wisdom with people. You ought to see that in their mother. Why? Because that's the way God intended. God intended for women to be spiritual leaders in the home. Hold on, I thought the man was the spiritual leader. I didn't say the spiritual leader, I said a spiritual leader. Well, Brother Mike, that don't make any sense. Who spends the most time with the children? It's not the man. Evelyn has said this before, and I'll repeat it right here. It's perfect. You spend most of your time with the children, but if you don't know the word of God, what are you feeding them? If you're relying upon your husband to do the spiritual feeding, but he's not home all day, he's working like he's supposed to be, then who's feeding the children? I'm not talking about their Gerber food. I'm not talking about their, Lunchables. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word of God. Who's feeding them that? It has to be the mother. Because she's spending time with him. She's spending time with him. Well, Brother Mike, I don't spend time with my children like that. They go to daycare and they go to this and they go to that. Well, find someone, if they got to go to daycare, because sometimes those situations happen. Find someone who is godly that is going to instill the word of God in their hearts. Because you don't want to build America and not build your child. Amen. And we've built America. And now America's been turned on us. It's true. You see it. It's right in front of you. And you see our children. And as any teacher amongst us, and they're mostly women, these children are not being taught morality. They're not being taught manners. They're not being taught reverence for God. You know who is? Godly women, godly mothers. And so we need godly mothers to do that particular thing. Motherhood is difficult. There are more individuals influencing your children more than what you think. You're not the only influencers of your children. Mother, be the strongest influence upon your child as possible. Why? Because you're allowing the Ancient of Days through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Holy Spirit and His Word to influence you, to impress upon your heart the Word of God, the principles of God, the morality of God, the uprightness of God. So you can do that with your own children. Young men, if you're going to pick a woman, a wife, pick a godly wife. Pick a wife that has potential to blow your mind, spiritually speaking. Don't settle. To settle beforehand is to hurt in the midst of it. I promise you. Pick a spiritual woman. A woman that's walking according to the Spirit. She will be a spiritual mother, Galatians 5:16. I promise you. She won't nag you. She won't cause you any problems. She won't cause you any trouble. You'll rise up and you'll say, I'm so thankful you're my wife. Why? Because you're spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? To walk according to the Spirit. What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? To walk according to God's Word. Don't settle. Why? Because that woman will be the mother of your children, your seed. And every seed will produce after his own kind. Mothers must fight hard to counter the world and their children. You must contend with the forces of darkness and evil against your family, moms. Don't allow anything into your home that is evil, which means that, brethren, mothers, watch these things. Watch your tablets. Mothers, hear me. Watch it. Check your children's phone. Watch it. Check it. Check them. Because once that seed enters into their heart, it's hard to get it out. We used to tell our children all the time, moms, hear me out. You better watch what you put in your mind when you're young because you're going to deal with it the rest of your life. Oh, y'all pay attention, please. Don't let your children just do anything. Oh, I trust them. Good luck. Why? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They always get themselves in foolish stuff. And then when they turn 30, 40, 50, they still get themselves into foolish stuff. And then 60, 70, they ain't nothing but spoiled brats, even at that age. Yeah, because they got themselves into foolishness, and it's hard to get out of it. Moms, do yourself a favor. Ground yourself in God. Ground yourself in the Word of God. Be convicted and persuaded by God Himself. And then teach that persuasion to your children. And then for the rest of their natural born lives, you contend with them. We got children 31 down to 22. We still contend with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you're going to have to. Because the world's going to always try to get your child off track. And just because, children, y'all listen, just because you are grown doesn't mean that your parents can't help you. I'm 51 years old. My mom still helps me with wisdom. Just the other day, I said, Mom, thank you. For what? For what you told me the other day. I didn't tell you. But thank you for saying this and this and this. I listened to you. She's 81 years old. I'm still glad that God has her here giving me wisdom that y'all hear from time to time. We need it. We need it. Moms, go to the Word of God. Yes, motherhood is difficult, but it's so fruitful in the end. It's hard when they're little and things is coming out of the mouth and the rear. That's difficult. When they're sick and you got to watch them in the hospital, that's difficult. But that's why you got a church family to help you, to encourage you, because we're all in this together. Luke chapter 2. I said all that to say this. When you have done all that you could do, and you brought your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you see your children walking in wisdom, walking in faith, leaning upon the Word of God and not their own understanding and will and the will of their friends, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to go to bed at night knowing that your children are doing what is right, striving to be right, striving to be the best that they can be through the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Your children are going to go through some difficult times just because they're standing up for what is right. Just because they're standing flat-footed in the Word of God and on the Word of God. Why? Because you have taught them some things to cause them to stand, to cause them to walk in wisdom, to cause them to respect God, to cause them to teach others, to cause them to read God's Word and appreciate it. Luke 2, starting at verse 33, as I close. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, this great man of God, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Can you imagine hearing that as a mother? Yeah, that's pretty good, right? But watch this. For a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Wow. Can you imagine hearing that? Hold on. What are you saying, Simeon? What are you saying? Your son is going to be responsible for the rise and fall of a great people. But your son is going to be killed. He's going to be hurt. He's going to stand up for what is right. Of course, I can say that. We can say that because we know the rest of the story. But she had to see her son on that cross. And I was thinking about this. Well, did she see him get beat? I can't go there. I don't know. I searched the scriptures, couldn't find it. But I know she saw the results of the beating while he was on the cross. She brought that young boy into the world and she saw how they crucified him. She saw how they treated him. You know that she knew the things that he went through in his life. You teach your children to stand up for what is right, especially in the world that we live in today. You're going to have to hold their hand, mama. You got to hold their hand because they're going to be tempted. They're going to want to go south. They want to go to the Negev Valley. They want to go to the way of Cain. They want to go to the way of sin. But you got to hold on, son. Daughter, hold on. Hold on. Don't compromise. Remember what you've been taught. Mama used to always say before I walked out, Remember who you are and whose you are. Remember? Can you imagine what she went through to see her son? Pierced her in the heart. She brought this boy into the world. And to see him that way. Brother Royce, that's Isaiah 53. That's Isaiah 52 and verse number 14. His visage was marred. Mama, can you imagine that? Your son, your daughter standing up for what is right. And they lose their job. They lose their high figure job. They lose their children. They lose. But you got to hold on with them. You got to encourage them. You're doing what is right. It's not easy telling your children you just keep doing what's right. I know this is wrong, but you keep doing what's right. You keep doing your part. Your heart's going to be pierced with a sword. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Moms, we need to rear godly defenders. Unfortunately, we have a bunch of weak kids around us. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in the world we live in. You just say just a little bit to them, and they're ready to fold. Our nation was built upon strength. The church was built upon strength. For that man, Jesus Christ, to take that beating and still walk up Golgotha's hill and still be nailed to a cross and then be hung for 6 hours before he gives his life. They didn't take it. He said, I give it myself. Mama, those are the type of kids you need to rear up. Not the type of kids that someone says something to them and their whole world shatters. And here you go running to their rescue. No, let them go through it. Teach them to be strong. Unfortunately, I was a mama's boy till I was 25. You ask my wife, I'm still one, but she don't know what she's talking about. You gotta let your sons grow up and be men. Because if not, they'll be a 65, 70-year-old foolish one. They'll be 80 years old, foolish and spoiled. Mama, be strong and help your children through it. Help them to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need more defenders. We need more children growing up, hearing the word of God. And when the opposition come, they stand because, well, mama had something to do with how I am today. Just have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're good to us, and for that we're thankful. We're thankful for godly women in the scriptures. We pray, dear Father, that the sisters that we have here, that they will be strong, that they'll rely upon you, and that they'll do their best to rear godly children, to help them, to nourish them, to give them the admonition that is needed, the instruction with warning. Pray to Father for our group here, those who are visiting. Pray that they will always remember that your way is the right way. That your way is the only way that leads to righteousness. And help them to have the strength to contend with their children. And to be the mothers that they need to be. And for those mothers that are doing it alone, pray to Father that you strengthen them, for that's not easy either. Pray to Father that you'll continue to encourage us, especially as men, to encourage them as mothers. Help us to never go asleep on you, Father. And Father, we ask that you give us the wisdom that is necessary in order to be godly defenders ourselves, because we have been fully persuaded by you. Let us never compromise that, Father. And when we do, pray that someone loves us enough to come and say something. We're thankful that you have made the mothers the managers of the home. Pray to Father that they'll take that seriously and realize that it is work and that many women leave work to go to work. But Father, we know that the true work is doing your will. We ask the Father that you continue to bless this congregation, help us to be strong. And we're so thankful for the sisters, the mothers, and the future mothers of this congregation. Pray that, Father, that you will continue to bless them. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to consider. I want you to think about doing God's will. And when you do that, God will bless you. God will take care of you. For this was the purpose of him sending his son, Acts 3:26. He sent him to bless you, turning you away from your iniquities. And so, you do that by hearing the gospel. The gospel includes the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, Acts 8:12. By believing the same, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of sin, confess Christ to be Lord. So important to confess him. You're not confessing you to be a sinner. You're confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord, and you do that publicly. But then you're immersed, you're baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And we have water. And we're ready, if you're ready. We're faithful. God will do something amazing in your life. God will wash away all your sins, give you a cleansed conscience. Now you can serve him, worship him, honor him, glorify him. Maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Every now and then we need that. If you're a mother and you need special prayer, you let us know. If you need help, you let one of the older sisters know who has wisdom and that can help you without making you feel like you're a fool. And they'll bless your life. Rearing children is not easy, but the fruit is so wonderful. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.